Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transit in the City of Oaks. I'm James, and our co-host, Jennifer, is out sick today, unfortunately, but we do have a guest, Eric Lamb, which is very exciting for us. He's Raleigh's transportation planning manager. He's the city's main transit person, responsible for developing and administering the city's transportation plans. That means streets, highways, bicycles, sidewalks, transit, and rail. Plus, he coordinates with the NCDOT on all their projects within the city. Hey, Eric, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So let's start with a little bit of background. How long have you been the transit planning manager?
So I have been working with the city of Raleigh since 1999, and I've been in charge of transportation planning now going on 10 plus years.
Wow. Okay. And you have a background in transportation engineering. How did you get into that in general?
Well, the short version is my father was actually a transportation engineer. He worked more on the maintenance side. And so in growing up in that kind of household, I was exposed to a lot of it. I actually had no interest in being an engineer growing up. Instead, I was looking at architecture.
Oh.
And I ended up at NC State and ended up moving into civil engineering and really got into transportation. And then spent a lot of my summers working with DOT, working out in the field, doing traffic engineering work and such. And so went through their program in college and then started working for DOT out of school. And that was good because it gave me sort of a broad view of all different types of transportation projects all across the state.
Yeah.
I always tried to get an excuse to figure out how to have a project in Asheville every year so I could get to go up there and one down to the beach and go see. But it was fun because I got to see a lot of different types of projects, and I got to the type of work I was doing, looking at doing feasibility studies and more such work. I was able to look at how different projects all fit together. So it gave me an understanding for project development and some of the challenges. So that made for a really good transition for me, migrating over to the city of Raleigh back in 99 and coming in and doing work on traffic studies and different types of special transportation projects. So I sort of came through a conventional path, never intended, as they say, career planning is an oxymoron. So
yeah.
But I really, really enjoy it. City of Raleigh is a great place to work. It's a dynamic environment, and as you can imagine, the type of work that we do, it's never dull. It's never the same day twice. And so the field has evolved as things have changed, and technology has improved, and now you're seeing, a significant renaissance both in the U.S. and around the world with looking at systems like light rail and bus rapid transit and high-speed rail, and all of which have been, conversations that we've had in this area.
One of the reasons we started doing this podcast is because it seems like there's so much transit news going on. Are you busier than usual, does it feel like, or is that just a perception? Are you always busy?
Yeah, we're always busy. I mean, it's like I said, it's never the same day twice.
Right.
It's that the focus tends to shift. So, in the early to mid 2000s, a lot of what we spent our time doing was development review, and that was something that was my role in the city. I did a lot of plan review, a lot of working with new developments and new zoning cases, and so helping them fit within the city's framework for the things that we wanted to accomplish and make sure that any type of impacts were mitigated and whatnot. So we spent a lot more of our time prior to the recession working on those types of issues, and then also, again, a lot of capital projects, a lot of construction of different facilities. With the recession, things changed a little bit. We still had a significant number of transportation projects in the pipeline, and the only silver lining, there were two silver linings of the recession. One is that prices dropped, so we were able to do more with our money and get better deals on building facilities. And two, it gave us some breathing room that Mitchell Silver and Ken Bowers had just started with the city, and the initiative was to work on doing a new comprehensive plan, and then that led to the development of a new unified development ordinance that replaced our prior development ordinances and zoning ordinances and combined them into sort of one unified format. And then now, as things have come back, we're seeing, again, a big interest in a lot of new development. But the character of the development, the flavor is pretty different. We used to do a lot of single-family subdivisions, and you don't see nearly as much of that anymore. It's a lot more apartment, a lot more commercial. So the intensity has changed somewhat. We're doing a fair amount of area planning. So in this specific area that we're in right now, you know, we're looking at new plans for Cameron Village and Hillsborough Street. We still have a significant amount of capital plans going forward, and that's the result of some transportation bonds that we had in 2011 and 2013. So we're still moving forward with those. But then now that we have been looking at the bones of what a new transit plan would look like for Wake County, we've spent a fair amount of time doing development of that. And then also with multimodal in terms of bicycle and pedestrian, we updated our pedestrian plan in 2000 and actually not updated. We did a pedestrian plan from scratch, finished that in early 2013. Now we just finished our new bicycle plan for the city, which was an update of the previous plan that we had done in 2009. We just got finished with a significant number of bicycle projects implemented throughout the area. And now we're working on developing a plan for implementation of a bike share system for the city.
Yeah, that's an exciting one. And I think everyone is a big fan of those bike racks around the city. You know, I was driving around last night, and they're just the design of them is so neat, and the colors, and they really stick out. It's almost public art more than something that's just functional.
And, you know, we can't take 100% of the credit for some of the bike racks because some of them are on private property, and we really do encourage folks to have fun with it because it's one of those things that – I think one generates interest and two people generate almost a sort of a sense of ownership. Mm-hmm. We have done a few different forays into bike racks. You know, one is we've done some conventional bike racks. We did 75 new racks, mostly around downtown a few years ago. As part of our major projects now, like Hillsborough Street, we're including bike racks with the construction of those projects. We worked with a group called Architecture for Humanity that wanted to do a juried competition for artistic bike racks several years ago. And that was sort of the first wave of artistic racks that went out. And those were, we had a lot of responses back from that from potential artists. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was sure. neat to see what the submissions were. And many of those are still out there in the community, and each one is very, very different. And then most recently, we did the crowdfunded bike racks, and those were the ones that were just installed a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that was part of, that was the first time the city had done a crowdfunding campaign. We did it for some bike racks, as well as for some benches along a couple of our greenways. And so we were able to work with a local artist to fabricate a design that mimicked our logo for our bike rally program. And then we did them in five different colors and then had those recently installed at several points around, mostly inside the Beltline.
You know, there's a lot of cool projects in Raleigh, and, you know, we would love to talk about all of them, but there's only so much time. Do you have a favorite one that you're working on right now, something that you're really even more excited about than everything else?
Gosh, I mean, we've spent a lot of time on some project development, and now those projects have moved forward into implementation. Really excited to see Union Station come out of the ground. So I worked on the initial concepts for that and worked with a team that was able to secure the Tiger grants from USDOT to get that seed money going. But that's just a really exciting project. You can already see how that's changing that area of the city pretty dramatically. In fact, somebody, I think it was one of the guys that does the Raleigh skyline photos, was lamenting the fact that he was taking a shot from the Boylan Bridge over the weekend, and he was like, yeah, this is one of the last times you're going to see this view, because the new tower that's going up the Dillon will likely be in front of, I think, the PNC building as seen from the Boylan Bridge. So, you know, that's one person's lament. That's another person's success story.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's, again, just more of the evolution of the city. Hillsborough Street Phase 2 is under construction now. And, you know, we were really excited about sort of the successful outcomes of Phase 1. And not everybody loves it. I mean, you know, I drove through on the way over here. There's some congestion right now associated with the construction that's going on because we've got things tightened up pretty significantly as part of the construction work zone.
Yeah, I got stuck in that a few weeks ago.
Absolutely. It happens. And yeah, the grid is good. There's multiple choices that you have. You don't have to go down Hillsborough Street.
Yeah, I got off at the first street I could, and I know the back road. So, yeah, it's no problem.
And as long as you drive slowly and politely through those streets, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
If you drive like it's Fast and Furious, it's a problem. But, you know, I mean, Hillsborough Street, again, we've sort of seen that return on investment. And we started to think more about how, as we spend money on municipal projects, and then they're not just construction projects, they are investments in the community. And we have to think now about how do we get a return on that investment to justify what we're doing. And Hillsborough Street Phase 1 really provided that return.
Yeah.
Without question, we improved. We set out to do two things with that project: improve pedestrian safety and improve the climate for businesses and redevelopment along the street. And you're seeing those positive outcomes on both fronts now. Sure, traffic gets a little gummy now and then, but that's what Western Boulevard is for.
Yeah. You know?
And again, now Western Boulevard will now become a focus for us potentially as one of the bus rapid transit corridors. That's being talked about now. And then, you know, the other thing that's fun is we get to work with NCDOT whenever they're doing projects in our area. We work with them on a variety of fronts, one of which is making sure that whatever types of project improvements they want to do fit into our plans and fit into our aesthetic and what we want to accomplish as a city. And I have found, I can say I'm an ex-DOT employee.
Sure.
And for a long time, you know, DOT had a reputation for being an 800-pound gorilla. And, you know, we know best and we're going to do what we want. Thank you very much. In the past decade, DOT has become a lot more willing to work with communities and try and develop solutions that are mutually beneficial. And so we've spent a lot of time, for example, for the last 3 or 4 years. As I mentioned, we've done a lot of corridor plans. And one of the big ones we did was a plan for Capitol Boulevard from downtown out to the Beltline. And
I wish that went a little further, but yeah, it's going to be great to see what happens with that.
That little further part is coming. So that's our next project that we're going to start taking doing work on over the course of the next year is from 440 to 540.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've done 540 north. Those plans are complete, and now working with DOT on a funded project to north of 540, convert it to a freeway, and with a parallel street network out there. South of 440, we were looking at opportunities for more urban spaces, parkland, greenway improvements, not a lot in the way of what I would call highway or roadway improvements in this case, because it's already primarily a six-lane facility.
Yeah, the roads are in good shape. It's just it's hard to get – I live right up there, and it's hard to get downtown if you're not in a car or on a bus.
Exactly.
Basically.
So we were looking at trying to create some new options with a master plan out there. What's been most interesting about that corridor plan has been this relationship between the corridor plan and stormwater, and how we had identified opportunities for creating a linear park along portions of Capitol Boulevard and utilizing federal stormwater flood buyout monies. And that has transitioned and occurred a lot more quickly than anybody thought it would.
Yeah.
So the city of Raleigh, we bought out the Milner Inn. We bought out the Dunkin' Donuts. We just bought out the Capitol Inn. So that demolition hasn't taken place yet.
Yeah, it's got the fencing around it, though.
The fencing is up. So we've been sort of systematically using those funds to buy out those properties and do stream restoration that's effectively in that area, Capitol Boulevard. So what happened as we were finishing that plan is DOT showed up and said, hey, we've got a need to replace the bridges at P Street and at Wade Avenue. And we said, well, hey, we've got a plan for you. So that was a great opportunity, and they were very interested. As long as the one requirement was, if you want to do these things that are above and beyond what we would do, you have to pay that difference. Okay, so we said, all right, that's fair. So we worked through. We had two different alternatives for both Capitol Boulevard at Peace and Capitol at Wade on how to reconfigure those interchanges. To reorient them. And so we worked through both of those in the early parts of project development. And what we found was what we wanted to do at Wade was to not make it sort of a swooping flyover, but instead a little more conventional intersection. It would tie into the CSX rail yard. All this you can find online. And we're talking about these things. You can find them online at RaleighNC.gov. But what happened was is that we found out that what we wanted to accomplish at Wade Avenue was relatively expensive.
Yeah.
And then we had those elements at Peace Street, and we basically said, we don't have enough money to cover all these changes, so we need to choose. And it was a very deliberate conversation on our part to say, we want to extend the pattern for downtown all the way out to Peace Street. You know, that's part of our newer plan for downtown.
Yeah.
So, and the opportunity is there, as you're seeing now Glenwood South expand, you're seeing more interest in walkability, you now see Seaboard start to blossom, and it's like, okay, this is an important piece in filling in those gaps and making this a walkable space. So we chose to make the investment in that Peace Street bridge more so than the Wade Avenue bridge.
Okay.
And so that's led to some significant dividends for us. We're already seeing interest in new development in that area the way that we thought. We're now starting to plan. You know, the city was actually a significant property owner in that area with what was known as the Devereaux Meadow property.
Oh, okay.
And I think a lot of folks know that that area where we used to park our solid waste services trucks was a baseball field. And back in the day, Raleigh had minor league baseball up until the early 1970s, and that's where it played. In fact, if you go inside the cotton mill, they have a photo mural on one of their walls that's the view from home plate. From behind home plate, you can see the baseball field, and you can see the cotton mill up on the hill in the background. So yeah, so part of our goal has been let's restore a park in this area, and that was another goal from an earlier downtown plan, is we're trying to establish more green space around downtown. Our stormwater folks and our parks folks are working together now on developing ideas for how to move forward with that plan.
Okay.
So yeah, so that now is going to start construction. We've finished all the project planning for that. We've now worked out our arrangements with DOT. It's going to be tough for about 3 years. There's going to be a lot. It's going to be a war zone for a bit.
Yeah.
There's going to be lane closures. At nights and weekends, there will be times when they are working on the bridge at Wade Avenue that there'll be closures of Capitol Boulevard that'll be temporary, so there'll be a lot of detours and such.
Yeah.
Not so much during the day on a regular weekday, but on weekends when they're hanging steel and taking the old bridge down.
Sure.
So that's going to be relatively disruptive.
So just one of the last things we wanted to touch on was the Wake County Transit Plan, the transit tax, pretty hot topics right now. Mm. From your perspective, how important is getting that tax passed to the future of the city, the county? Or I don't know if you're allowed to advocate for a proposal like that. But
I am absolutely not allowed to advocate. This is something that's a much larger decision relative to our elected officials.
Sure.
What I can talk about is if the referendum is approved in November, what it's going to mean in terms of changes. First and foremost, the most immediate thing that you'll see if there's a successful referendum is that within the first 2 years of the plan, you're going to see a significant increase in both the amount of buses and the number of routes that are available within the city of Raleigh, but then also in the operating hours. And that's a hallmark of this plan, is that in order for transit to be useful, and in order to generate ridership and transit, you need a system that is reliable. It needs to take you know, where you want to go. It needs to be predictable. And it needs to be accessible, safe, and clean. And what you're going to see is a system that right now in Raleigh, I can't remember the number, I think we operate something like maybe 15 or 16 hours a day on some of our routes, for some not as much. You're going to see that system go to a 19 and 20 hour system across the board.
Wow.
So the hours of operation of the system will be substantially longer. So what that means, for example, is if you've got service industry workers that are working after midnight, right now transit options are few and far between for them. That's going to really open up a lot more accessibility for folks in that situation. What you're also going to see is that currently we operate fairly limited hours for our buses on weekends.
Yeah.
And the goal with this funding is that, no, we're going to operate consistent service 7 days a week. So, for example, if we have a corridor that we're planning to have service every 15 minutes, it will be every 15 minutes for 19 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
So that makes for a much more accessible and useful system than what we have today. That's the first thing you're going to see. The second rollout is going to be the development of the bus rapid transit system. And right now we have four principal corridors identified in the transit plan. And if you want to see more about the transit plan online, you can go to waketransit.com, and all the plans are on there. The plans have all been approved, so really at this point it's waiting to see what happens with the referendum in November. But the BRT lines will be a mix of dedicated bus lanes and mixed traffic lanes. We may see the use of longer articulated buses. A lot of communities have done work to really brand these a little differently than their regular buses. And again, the idea is to create some excitement and ownership and identity associated with these lines. But it's also, again, the frequency in moving people.
Yeah.
So you'll also see a higher degree of construction and investment for each of our stops. So with BRT, you don't have stops every 1,000 feet. You have stations. You
right.
have more significant stations that are spaced a little further apart. But what you do have there is something that looks a little more like a light rail system, in that you've got a raised platform that's a little bit above the street. You typically have more in the way of the canopies. You'll have the opportunity to do advance payment for tickets. You'll have more real-time information systems that give you feedback about when the buses are arriving. So it's a substantially higher quality system that's really starting to be a truly mass transit system.
Yeah, I got to say, the transit app that the city uses now is pretty good. You can see the buses coming down and the little blue dot when it's going to be at your stop. So
The Transloke?
Yeah, Transloke. Yeah,
yeah, that's that's become a phenomenon in transit circles that started at NC State.
Wow. So, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So we were one of the early adopters of that software. It works great so long as the bus driver remembers to turn on the GPS system, the automatic vehicle location systems. As long as it's working, it works great.
Right.
The investments that we're talking about, for the primary corridors along Western Boulevard, really the idea is, connecting downtown Raleigh to downtown Cary via strong dedicated service. The original plan that we were looking at several years ago for light rail was trying to follow the railroad corridor, which presented some significant difficulties in both cost and operations, trying to share that with the freight corridor. So in looking at different options, again, we've changed the character of Hillsborough Street, and that really wasn't a good fit. But we saw Western Boulevard as providing a much-needed link and opportunities for ample land availability along several different points in the corridor that would be good spots for additional development to support such a line. So from Raleigh's standpoint, the four lines that we're looking at radiate out of downtown Raleigh, we're still working on exactly how that will look within downtown, how that will interface between the current Go Raleigh Station at Moore Square, the new operations at Union Station. So there's a lot within downtown that we have to work out.
Yeah.
But the other two corridors, New Bern Avenue is probably first in line at this point.
I'd heard that. Is that the most traveled corridor or in terms of bus passengers?
It is. Okay, let me qualify the answer. It is the most heavily used Go Raleigh bus corridor.
Okay.
So, but if you want to know what actually the highest transit corridor in Wake County is, it's actually Avant Ferry Road.
Really?
And it's a combination of the service that we have for current Go Raleigh service and Wolf Line. Wolf Line operates as a free service, and many folks don't realize that Wolf Line is actually free to the public.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a student to ride Wolf Line. But with the volume of riders that get on and get off on Avant Ferry every day, that's actually the highest transit corridor in the city.
That's interesting.
Yeah, okay. So that informed our conversations about how do we try and treat that corridor a little differently, and we're having some conversations with NC State about how do we look at opportunities to combine our efforts in that corridor and make that more effective. But New Bern Avenue, we had a corridor plan several years ago that already predicted the idea of some type of fixed route transit service in that corridor. That's been incorporated into a plan, and so that would likely be well-positioned to be one of the first investments we make. The other conversation happening right now is actually the Southern Gateway Plan, which is looking at development and growth options for South Saunders Street and South Wilmington Street as you come out of downtown. That plan is currently in a draft right now, but it basically made some strong recommendations about utilizing Wilmington Street, which as a road corridor back in the day, that used to be US 1. That used to be one of the ways that you came into downtown coming from the south that predates the construction of South Saunders Street and the connection to Dawson McDowell. It predates the Beltline. And when the Beltline was built, there's no interchange for Wilmington Street. So as a result, there's very little traffic that actually uses Wilmington Street today compared to South Saunders Street.
Right.
So that gives us the opportunity to repurpose some of those travel lanes out there and really easily fit bus rapid transit operations into that existing footprint fairly at a low cost. But then it looks at how do we integrate that system as we travel into Garner and make those linkages there. So those will all be relatively transformative investments for those corridors. And then the third piece, if we have a successful referendum, is working on the commuter rail system. Yeah. And commuter rail is not light rail. It's conventional trains. I think one of the best peer examples I can point to is probably the service in San Diego. I think it's called the – it's at the Sounder. That is a service that runs along the Pacific Coast, and you can see double-decker train cars – and typically three or four train cars pulled by a single train. And that's the type of operation that we're talking about. In that case, as I said before, you know, you've got conventional bus with fairly tight stop spacing. Then bus rapid transit has stops that are further apart. And then commuter rail has stops that are substantially further apart. And typically you're looking at about at least 2 mile spacing for the conventional rail.
Yeah.
And you need that for the train to be able to move and get up to speed and be efficient. Challenge is that you've got downtown in close proximity to NC State. Those are two big generators, and there's no way we can get away with not having two stops at those locations.
Sure.
But the idea is that train system would link starting on the southeastern side of Wake County on near Garner and getting close to Clayton, and then going all the way through Raleigh and taking the system through Research Triangle Park and connecting to Durham.
Yeah.
And the idea that that's sort of a first leg of implementation with the goal of extending the service further to the west, hopefully to Hillsboro, and then on the east end, connecting it out into Johnston County and into Clayton. And what's really good about that is Clayton has become a really big growth community. And it's those highways that connect Clayton to Raleigh are fairly heavily used. And so the idea of having a train system that would provide an alternative becomes fairly attractive. Because trains don't get stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
So again, the thing that's hard for a lot of people with the transit plan is that we've been trying to emphasize over and over that this is a 10-year plan. This is not the transit master plan. This is not our entire blueprint of everything we want to build. We wanted to demonstrate that if we had these funding resources available, what could we reasonably accomplish within a 10-year period? And so it's a fiscally responsible plan, and excited to see what happens.
Yeah. This has been a really great conversation again with Raleigh's transportation manager, Eric Lamb. We'll be posting show notes and some other transit news on our website, including some of those links that Eric referenced earlier. And those can all be found on our website, inboundraleigh.com. And Eric, do you want to plug the Wake Transit site and the Raleigh NC where people can find out more about some of the upcoming projects real quick?
Absolutely. So if you want to find out more about projects, and we have a lot of fun interactive maps online now, so you can look at your part of the city and look and see what kinds of transportation projects are going on. You can find those at www.raleighnc.gov. Our group is the Office of Transportation Planning, so if you go to RaleighNC.gov and type in transportation planning, you can get to a lot of our resources and our interactive maps. If you want to find out more about the Wake Transit Plan, you can go to WakeTransit.com. You can find the current plan that's been adopted and find out more information about what's going forward.
Great, and thanks again, Eric. And don't forget, we also want to hear from you, so please email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook. Our handle on both of those platforms is just inboundraleigh. Let us know what you think of the podcast so far and if you have any specific ideas or suggestions you'd like us to see discussed. Thanks again. Take care.